All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, as you can see, we're at the dumpster behind a proctologist's office.
Hell yeah!
Hell yeah! And this is where the medical students throw out the prosthetic proctology models that they use to test out all their, you know, sounding techniques and butt stuff.
Oh, they're sex arses.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, not yet.
Eventually. No,
they're just for looking for polyps.
Right.
So we're going to go through these arses one by one.
Okay.
And check to see if anybody had, Nintendo polyps, like some kind of video game version of
some kind of video game version of butt disease.
Yeah, we're going to endoscopy for endoscopy you and endoscopy.
Okay. Okay. You know? I mean, do I get to use gloves?
You do, but only gloves you find in the dumpster.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
What will you choose? The inside's probably kind of clean.
Wait, so am I using a scope? Like, what am I physically doing here, Gary? This is gross.
Endoscopies and digital rectal exams, colonoscopies.
So can I use the scope that I have here?
Only ones you can find in the dumpster.
Okay, well, here's a scope. Got one right here. All right. So I'm just gonna run this up.
Yeah, just run it up the flagpole. I'm gonna start doing it, and we're gonna see what happens when we get through all these asses.
Okay. All right. So should I put in some waiting music?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, we got a big pile of them outside the dumpster,
okay.
And there's just one more remaining in the dumpster, and we still haven't found a video game.
Just one more, a final rear end. Okay.
Yeah. So let's check this one for a video game.
Mm.
God, no game inside the last of ass.
What?
That we have here.
Wow, this was a disgusting exercise in futility is what it was, Gary.
But the game computer liked that I said that.
It did, enough. Yeah. It must be... it's a game, Gary.
There's a game called Last of Ass.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's do this. Happy 400. I'm Cole Ross.
And welcome to Abject Suffering, where we finally upgraded the game computer with a built-in randomization randomizer, so we no longer have to come up with these ourselves.
Yay!
It's a devious, devious intro.
Yeah.
From SEO Speedwagon.
Ooh, that's a good... I smile whenever I see that. Whenever I see that in the old Twitter mentions. Good username.
I smiled... when I saw the Steam 15-second trailer on Twitter for Last of Ass. No, that's not how I found it. I was looking up, Derek and me were looking at games.
Okay.
And he had found Last of the Waifus. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I don't want to, but I'll look at it because we're just goofing around.
Right.
And I put Last, and the very first thing that popped up was Last of Ass. And I was like, oh, this I got to play.
Now this I've got to see.
This is a drill. Game
Last of Ass. I mean this is garbage. This is an asset flip. This is a fake game, Jim Sterling would call this
premium priced at $3
at three whole smackaroos. So this was literally just an accident in searching.
Yes.
For you. Okay. I was curious, like, is this infamous? Like, what is this? Because when you look on Steam, it has positive reviews. And when you look at all 20 of the reviews, you have people doing ironic, fully positive or fully negative or whatever. It's completely unhelpful and not representative of the actual thing. So I just had no idea what I was walking into with this, and like, no, oh, it's just a horror game.
It's Slender the Pages.
Yeah, it's Slender the Pages, where you have to avoid stuff while you're searching for stuff. You have to avoid some things, but specifically seek out other things.
Yeah, cannibals.
Yeah.
The one thing I will say that this does that I legitimately like I did not go into this with you know, an episode in mind.
Okay.
I just was like, last of ass. Let's do it. I think this genuinely, like, if somebody made a serious game that used this color scheme and lighting,
mm-hmm.
I would be 1,000 times into it.
It is like kind of transfixing, actually. The pervasive purple fog and god rays coming through. It's kind
of beautiful.
Kind of, yeah. Radio
Lab way. Like, it's uh-huh. It's kind of like a pretty game.
Yeah. I mean, and then you get close to any of the models. But like, yeah. as a purple, you know, forest, like I would not put this outside of being like, oh, this is like Kitty Horror Show doing, you know, like playing with color in a space, right?
Yeah, like really, really bold color,
yeah,
use in this. I also think that the writing in this is funny, even though I don't think it's intentional.
There's some things it's really hard to get a sense of if it's intentional. It's obviously not English as a first language.
No. They like Stephen King.
Yes, they do. Like, the setup is you are on your way from Castle Rock to Derry because one of your relatives, Georgie, died. Okay. Yeah. So you are a Denbro.
Yeah, you're heading to go take care of it, and your car breaks down, and then as you're trying to get back to your car, which you left for some reason,
mm-hmm.
You run to a ghost, and the ghost explains the premise, and the only way you get to answer is saying OMG, okay? !
Yeah,
that is so funny.
You
ask, he's like. Like, I'm a ghost. I got killed by a cannibal with a golf club.
No,
I
got killed. No, he says I got killed by a group of fucking cannibals.
Yeah. OMG. Okay. everything he says, you respond to OMG. Okay. I just really like that.
Yeah.
And then you go inside and you find a note on the house, the main house of the cannibal. And this is like a palatial cannibal estate. Like, they have so many outbuildings.
Mm-hmm. It's like RE7. Yeah.
I wrote down this note, or I took a picture of this note. Be careful. The owner of the car may appear soon. Bibby, my daughter, you have completely lost weight. Your biceps are already 55 centimeters, not 65 centimeters.
Like, you need more protein.
You can eat the stranger completely. I took a can of gasoline for the ritual. Kisses, teen poo.
Yeah, the patriarch of the cannibal group is teen poo. His name. Yeah. So you run into him when you go out to like the ritual space in the middle of like the Stonehenge or whatever. And, you know, he's just marching around. The enemies just walk in tight loops and
yeah.
They don't even really commit to pursuing you. Like, if you break line of sight, they will, you know, stop chasing you.
When the chase music stops.
Yeah. And
what's very funny is that the chase music just plays over the normal music.
I love it so much. And the normal music is already like a 15 second loop.
Yeah. They just add. They never get rid of.
Yep.
Yeah. The additional music.
Yeah. But like, all of them speak through a real like deep voice kind of thing. So yeah. Got kind of a Buffalo Bill thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But there's
this company has two other games. Damn What Was Yesterday.
Okay. And
My House, My Rules, one word.
What is My House, My Rules? We might need to go back to these guys.
I'm going to go. SSP games are going to get all the Object Suffering bump. Similar to games I've played, Resident Evil 7, Outer Wilds.
Oh, what?
It is a horror game with elements of humor. The main character is no longer a helpless whipping doll, ! You will be armed with the most powerful weapon, a word. Plot. When you return home, you realize the electricity has gone out, but your favorite series is about to start. What to do? We urgently need to restore electricity, but be careful. You're not alone in the house tonight. Explore the house, look for items, get ready to face evil. Can you survive this night? So probably pretty similar to...
Probably really similar to this, actually. And then, Damn, What Was Yesterday? It's an adventure
game. It's like a puzzle version of Last of Us.
It's an adventure game that tells how a regular party of old friends can end. A party of old friends can end? What are you?
Whoops.
This looks surreal. Damn, what was yesterday? Great. Yeah. Huh. Yeah.
Kind of into the accidental art these guys are making.
Yeah. I mean, these guys, this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, and when we talk about like the, like things being either funny or inadvertently funny or like funny on purpose, like there are more than just the Stephen King references. So you get like a well that has pink light coming out of it, you know?
Yeah. There's a color out of space.
Yeah.
Reference.
And did you take a close look at the fire that that Teen Poo had started?
I did not.
I'll send you the screenshot, but it's not just like a bonfire or whatever that he's using gasoline to start. He's burning books. Okay. It's like a bunch of books, okay. And it's fucking hilarious because one of them just has Cyrillic text, which I cannot read because I do not speak those languages. But the other is
that's really good.
Yeah, it's really good. it's a plain blue hardcover book. This is what he is burning. This is the title of the book. It is literally just a list of these things. Constitution, rights and freedoms, historical facts, justice, equality.
This is some trenchant cannibal commentary going on here. Like, we've all heard of Cannibal Corpse, but cannibal commentary?
What?
House of a Thousand Commentaries?
Yeah. It's all this, I had to take a screenshot because I knew I would not remember this. But that's like, great. It's perfect. Rights and freedoms. Funny. He's burning rights and freedoms, Gary.
No. And whatever this is in Cyrillic.
Yeah.
So you go around this like beautiful fogscape trying to collect the four things you can escape in your car with a really horrible interface and really horrible chase sequences.
Yeah.
I wanted to mob the enemies out of this and just walk around it.
Same.
Like, but I was also, just like, yeah, this would be very like fun and relaxing just to be in. Not relaxing, but like tense in a fun way.
Yeah. But also like the enemies are so easy to get away from that it didn't I never died to them. They just kind of chased me and then stopped.
I did to see what would happen, and it just goes to a game over screen.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get like a scare screen or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like you do in Phasmophobia.
Right. Oh, did you get the jump scare in this?
There's a noise that played. Every time you pick up one of the things, a loud noise plays when you first see it.
Yeah.
So it's got that jump scare.
Yeah. So like the radio turning on when you pick up the key or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Got that.
One of them. So you take the key and you use it to open the door to the ritual space, which is just another part of the yard. But when you go through there, you like literally get like a screamer image that pops up, or at least I got a screamer image that pops up. It made like a, and it was like a heavily pixelated image of like an old man's face with like some blood coming out of the corner of his mouth. Of yeah. I guess that was kind of scary.
Yeah, like, well, that was just confusing. Yeah, no, that's great.
Yeah,
I have a little bit of sympathy for this game. I didn't, not just because I picked it and made us buy it, but also because I legitimately really like this purple fog.
Yeah, the purple. Yeah. That was the first thing that I noticed, and that is a lasting impression. Oh, the first thing that I noticed is on the title screen, instead of saying like language, you know, next to the drop down.
Oh yeah,
it's just
severed tongue.
Yeah, just clip art of a severed tongue.
Yeah, really good. And then also, there's no point in which this describes why it's called Last of Ass.
Right. It has nothing to do with The Last of Us.
No, or ass.
Yeah. I mean, what it is this guy just knows that it's a bad game and he wants to make it. You know, it's like, oh, yeah. Like, what would a bad horror game be called? Last of Ass. There we go.
Yeah. And it opened the door for tons of people to try to dunk on Last of Us.
Yes.
With it. The family has there's a family in this, a cannibal family, which is a trope that I am weak to.
Yes.
And they have a dog who patrols the roads, but also is standing on top of a rock staring at you at one point.
I thought that was a goat. He makes goat noises.
Yeah. I assume that's what they, because they say the dog is like not right. And it's kind of a monster goat. So I assume that was the same.
My dog
critter.
Is sick.
My dog is really sick. Too much human meat.
Yeah.
From this thing. But like that stuff was good to me. You're also very short, similar to like Tech War.
Oh, I love it. It's this. So good. I like, love the, how, like the gigantic
short FPS is.
The gigantic couch in the garage. Like it's mm-hmm. the size of the couch from that Gallagher comedy special.
Yeah, first person Shapiro's. The like, point of view, you're trying to understand rap.
certified freak.
While running around
7 days.
Purple forest.
A week. Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And I also, once I started and figured out that there wasn't going to be tons of meat on this bone, I mm-hmm. also just thought, like, you know, Cannibal House. Like, the day that we can't make an episode out of Cannibal House.
Right, right. Oh, that was the remit, you know, about Madballs, when you said, you know, I'm going to have us play Madballs, and if we can't get a half hour out of Madballs, we should quit.
Yeah, and if we can't get a, you know, it's not like we haven't talked about cannibalism again, but I'll keep talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I've said my last words on cannibalism.
So, like, I don't know. It's one of those things where I think that the common media depiction of cannibals, so you see this, right? The cannibal,
highly
the,
problematic. The cannibals the, only do this when they're stressed out. Please take this down.
But like Texas Chainsaw Massacre or whatever, right? Like any of that, it shows cannibals as being, you know, unsophisticated. It's almost secondary. Like what they are doing is almost secondary to the squalorous way in which they live their life.
Yeah, you know, they're poor, like, first and cannibal second.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, you know, I'm thinking, and I don't know the actual numbers on this, but, like, my guess would be that if there is any actual cannibalism going on outside of crimes of either necessity, you know, your lives and your daughter parties and whatnot, or outside of crimes of cannibalism opportunity, like, oh, I got a body here, I wonder what that tastes like.
Yeah.
I would think that if there is like any amount of cannibalism going on, it would not be this. It would be people who have their shit a little bit more together. I'm saying that, and I realize I'm basically just rebuilding QAnon from the start.
Well, and Hannibal, like the whole thing with Hannibal was like, what if a smart cannibal?
Yes,
you know, like what it was basically the Richard Spencer of cannibals. Like, who's this sexy young cannibal who's erudite in a way that you might not expect?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then ends up on the cover of Newsweek and shit.
Mm-hmm. Fine young cannibals, one might say.
Yeah, back in the day with the you know, the fine young cannibals.
Yeah.
So we talked about a couple of the different situations in which one could become a cannibal.
Mm-hmm.
Got opportunity. You know, like, hey, this is here. I don't want to go to waste.
Yeah.
And I've always been curious.
Mm-hmm.
We got desperation.
Right. Right.
There's probably, like, you know, like some sadism. Like, there's probably people who do this as like just for meanness's sake.
Probably. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
Those might be the three.
Tricking somebody. The trick is good. Pulling the Titus Andronicus. Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of the scariest ones.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's great. Like, oh man, you think that, you know, of course you like Dennis. You've been eating Dennis. Like, that stuff is super good.
Bone chilling.
I want to put in a side category for self-cannibalism. Like auto-cannibalism.
Auto-cannibalism, yeah. Yeah. We're
that's
just
scary.
Like, I'm going to cut off of, I mean, so forced auto-cannibalism? What category in Literotica is this?
Mind control / cannibalism.
Okay, on FetLife, what tag are we giving this right here? Where it's like, okay, I will sacrifice a finger to know what finger meat tastes like. If we could cut that off and fry this bad boy up, and I've got a good story.
Did you know that we all do self-cannibalism as a natural thing? Your body consumes dead cells from the tongue and cheeks, ingesting your own blood constantly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, where else is it going to go? Like, is the inside of my mouth going to molt and I just spit out like a thin membrane every 2 weeks?
Yeah, like, you just leave behind a coal shell.
No, I take it back. That'd be fun.
Yeah, you could definitely do a big Ferris Bueller thing. Like if you had that, if you wanted to like not go to school or whatever, you just leave one of your husks.
It wouldn't turn into chitin. It would be like a windsock, dude.
Well, you'd put it around a dummy.
Okay. But why wouldn't I just put a wig on the dummy that was roughly my size under the covers? Why would my skin have to play into this?
It would
pass a DNA test. I doubt that it's you. I'm not going to look at your face to confirm whether or not this is a dummy, but I will take excessive swabs. We're going to run this down to the lab and see.
Until the boys in the lab see if you're skipping school.
9 times.
I just think it would add to the deniability. Like you'd go in, you know, the person would see the golem.
Yeah.
And then they would be like, oh, like, I can see his skin. That's him.
Yeah.
For sure.
People identifying me by my skin. I don't know.
Yeah.
But like if people molted, you would just be finding that shit all the time. It's like, you know, mask litter is totally a thing now. Like you see masks everywhere in parking lots and stuff. If people just like, you know, occasionally like, ah, dang it, I got a molt. So just going to, you know, pull it, start at my mouth and then open it down and climb out of my outer layer like it's a sleeping bag. And then just going to leave it behind.
Porta-potties for it.
Yeah. I mean, you would need porta-potties because if people like, you know, people would try to flush that shit, it would clog.
Oh man. And yeah, there'd be those little signs that are like, do not flush tampons
or your entire
organ on your body.
Right.
There's an X-Man who does that.
What?
Whose power is she pulls off her skin and can be other things underneath it. And she just leaves them around.
Ooh.
Isn't that disgusting?
And
the characters talk about it's disgusting and she still does it.
It's a bad roommate is what that is.
Yeah. It's a bad look.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I hate it.
Yeah. I would not like that. I don't like it when I have cause to have my skin in general just around. Like if I like peel a piece of my skin or like I have a scab or something like that that has to go.
Yeah. Top of a blister or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. No, thanks.
No.
I once had this blister the size of a tennis ball.
Jesus, Gary.
On the back of my ankle. I don't know how it happened.
Okay.
And I couldn't walk. Because of it. Because
you had a blister the size of a tennis ball on the back of your ankle.
Yeah, it was fucking wild as hell. Like a half tennis ball. Like the other half of the tennis ball was part of my ankle.
Okay, yeah.
You know? So I had to drain it, and I was like, this was when I first moved out, first broke up with my ex-wife.
Okay.
This won't be gross.
Okay. You're talking about draining a tennis ball's worth of... Okay.
I'm not going to talk about the individual stuff. But it was very funny in a, like... early 30s resourcefulness way, because I was like, okay, I have to be able to walk. What do I do? Going to the doctor is out of the question.
Of course, you know, it's America. Come on.
It's America. So I ended up like heating up a knife to sterilize it.
Yeah.
To like try to do it. It was just like a very weird day of self-surgery for me.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I've done that.
Those normal days.
I've boiled a needle.
Yeah. Every once in a while I got a lance.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because again, you're not going to go to the doctor. One of the richest kings in Europe. Oh, if you were in Europe, this wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, well, you don't even get blisters in Europe.
No, it's magical land. You
get nothing.
Yeah.
I'm very susceptible to the, even though I understand there are classist overtones to it, I am very susceptible to the evil cannibal family.
Yeah.
Like the Sonny Bean shit is compelling to me.
Sonny Bean, what?
Do you know about the Sonny Bean family?
No.
The Texas Chainsaw Massacre was based on?
No. I seriously don't. I thought Texas Chainsaw Massacre is like Leatherface is like a kind of like a Ed Gein, right?
I kinda.
No, so I don't know the story.
Splash in the bucket. yeah. Here's the Wikipedia for a Sonny Bean.
Okay. I would not even know how to spell that. Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's a legend of a Scottish family of cannibals that live in caves.
Okay.
Inbreeding and stealing people off the road.
Oh, so it's like rats on the walls.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah, this is the influences in Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but the very specific inspiration was for The Hills Have Eyes.
Gotcha. Okay.
From Wes Craven.
Yes. And also in Attack on Titan, apparently there's a clan like that. Huh. can be seen in the films Ravenous and Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Huh. And this is old. I mean, this is the 16th century is what it is.
Yeah, this is an old-timey legend.
Yeah. Huh.
I'm just like, and it's so crazy, the idea that, like, you know, I could just go make an evil family.
Yeah?
You know?
What do you mean? Like, go marry somebody and just say we're going to get weird with it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I just go marry a she Frank Reynolds.
Okay.
And then we get a cave full of cannibals. Get weird with it.
Yeah.
You know? And just like, hey, you know, you like, it's horrible. Not saying that it should be done.
Right.
But it's just wild that, like,
it's an option.
We have the freedom to go live in a cave, a cannibal cave, if we want to.
I wonder how legal it is to live in a cave in America.
Well, you ask Mike Rowe.
Okay.
He's always saying you should go live in a cave rather than take debt.
Okay. Well, fuck him.
He's a monster.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy fucking sucks.
Man, imagine being like living. Okay, so we're putting a lot of demands on the Scottish contingent. What you doing over there? You cutting some fingernails?
Mm-mm. I was tapping.
Gotcha. Okay. It sounded like you were cutting fingernails. No, we're putting a lot of demands.
I was trying to push something in place.
Ah.
It was making a click.
Yeah. Imagine having the last name Bean and like hearing jokes about like, oh, you come from the cannibal family, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I am Ooh Small Bean. I'm just, you know, I'm not cannibal.
Yeah, not cannibal. And it's a little bit like, you know, there's this one guy, just a guy has the last name Habsburg, which I guess like he literally is like descended from the Habsburg family. There's a lot of people would be, it was a large royal family or whatever. But like, it's funny because on Twitter, whenever a new article or something about the Habsburgs come out, like he takes really strong offense to like the people making jokes about his family because he thinks it's lazy. It's like, dude,
no.
You know, the Habsburg jaw and all that. Like, yeah, you can't argue with how fucked up that was. Like, I'm sorry for the genetic lottery that you know, just to be being born with that last name or whatever. But like, your indignance, you being indignant is not going to take this toy away from the rest of us. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Not allowing it.
No.
Yeah. 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 Hmm. That's the, you know, and that's also one of those that plays into the larger discourse of like, you know, what it's okay to make fun of.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
which is a lot of what comes down to.
Yeah. It's probably an argument that like, this is in really bad taste because like real people have done real cannibalism under real traumas, but also like, it's pretty fucking wild.
Yeah. It's pretty wild. And also,
it's an extreme of human behavior that I'm, you know,
an extreme of human behavior that is endlessly fascinating across cultures.
Yeah. I'm not going to, you know, fall on a sword and be canceled for thinking this stuff is interesting when it's been a taboo, an interesting taboo forever.
Mm-hmm. It's part of folklore. I mean, like even the Shawnee Bean thing, because I'm an expert about it now, you know, it became like, it's like a tourism thing in Edinburgh. Like,
yeah. You can go to the caves.
Yeah.
You can eat a femur.
take a picture of me and just like it's a turkey leg. They're not gonna give you an actual femur, but like,
no, but it's a femur of something.
Yeah,
it's not a human femur, you know.
How I'm sure maybe we have talked about this, but like, how persuaded are you by the idea that eating somebody who gives you their consent to be eaten is the only ethical way to eat meat?
Not very persuaded.
Okay. I'm not very persuaded by it either. It's like intellectually, like I can say like, yeah. Like you know for sure that this person is okay with it, but also, yeah.
Yeah. I at first I thought you were going to say that's the only way to ethically eat human meat. And I was like, yes.
Oh, yeah.
I think I want the permission.
Sure.
Yeah. But I still would not be that interested in it. But in terms of like, you know, you should not. You know, that's just the kind of a stock vegetarian.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, argument, which is like, no, I know, you know, I'm just thinking,
yeah, I know.
Like a kind of my response to that, which is not great, but it's where I'm at.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Apparently this ended up like turning into a huge, like witch hunt. People were massacred because of this.
Because of the Shawnee Bean shop?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I want a Junji Ito's Sonny Bean.
Oh, yeah.
Like, pretty bad. Like, can you imagine how he'd draw the cave?
Oh, it'd be amazing. Fucking ornate and fluid. Yeah.
Yep. And just like this, as a place to explore in a game, this shit always works on me as being scary as hell.
Oh, like the cannibal den?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to be eaten.
No. Yeah. I think that, you know, like so it's one of those things where it's like it's a primal fear, right? Like that's one of the reasons that we're afraid of animal, like, you know, afraid of bears, right? Like, oh, they probably are more interested in killing you, not so much for your meat, but, you know, because you're in their territory or whatever. But like, it is the motivation that we ascribe to a lot of, you know, animals and people who we read as being feral, right? Like, you know, there are any number of reasons for you to not kill me, but if you are killing me for food, you know, I'll break the law for food if I have no other option, right?
Yeah. Not that law.
You know, I mean, okay, so you're saying that now. Let's see how you get.
That's true. I'm at the killing for food.
Right.
But even then, you know, who knows, as evidenced by the Donner Party. Whenever the Hall & Oates song Maneater comes on the radio, I shit my pants.
It's so terrifying.
Here she comes. Oh, God. Watch out, boy, she'll chew you up. No, not to Gary.
What's your current tragedy book that you're going through?
You know, I finished that 3096 days book, and I'm waiting for my next Audible credit to load in. So I haven't, I've just been listening to podcasts and stuff while I wait.
Yeah.
There's a couple of them I saw. Mm-hmm. On there, there's an interesting one that's by the same author about a guy who, I think it's the same guy who did the Indifferent Stars Above, who went off and lived in the woods for like 15 years and then was finally found again. Just was like self-sufficient in the woods. You're not quite, you know, I'm sure there's plenty of tragedy going on there.
Yeah.
But I think that might be the next thing I listen to.
You don't do that if you have a lot of stuff waiting for you in Civilization.
A lot of prospects.
Yeah.
You know, you don't do that instead of going into plastics. Like,
I don't want to manufacture anything. I don't want to buy anything. I don't want to buy anything to be manufactured. Yeah. When you were a kid, let's say like in like fifth or sixth grade or whatever, were you partial to the works of Gary Paulsen?
Let me look. I know the name.
Okay.
I think the answer is probably, but I need to look up and see what he's done.
Yeah. Hatchet. Yeah.
The Hatchet Man is what I like to call him.
He's the Hatchet Man. Like, how partial were you to, like, every Gary Paulsen book is the same. Like, the Voyage of the Frog is basically just Hatchet, but in a different place. But, like, how partial are you to stories of plucky young boys who are in impossible situations, but use their gumption to survive?
Not tons. I read Hatchet as a kid.
Yeah.
And then I'm looking through his books here, and I read Night John.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I also read other books that were kind of about that, but they were like adjacent. Like when I was a little bit younger, like The Boxcar Children.
Yeah.
Which is about a family who do this, but they live in a boxcar.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So kinda is the answer.
Kinda was the answer. My Side of the Mountain was a little bit like this, although that was for like a little bit of a younger kind of set. Oh, I ate this shit up. That was for a whole year, this was the only kind of book that I would read, is the, you know, basically preteen survivor man.
Yeah.
Kind of stuff.
There's something interesting about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing, you know, it just kind of is interesting what people do when they're actually confronted with hardship. Yeah.
And it just, it makes me wish that like, actual survivalism was not so thoroughly colonized by the far right, you know, because if you start talking about I want this kind of knife, like you can't buy like a good useful knife that would be like viable in that kind of situation without having it like have a, you know, be army camo
list.
Yeah, you get put on a list, and also like it's named something that is probably a slur.
Yeah, like the Freedom Slicer or something.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
you just end up, you know, you just end up in some weird neighborhoods. If you're starting to like think about like what kind of machete would I want to have around the house?
Yeah, like a standard house machete.
Yeah,
you could also move out of the fucking country.
What?
And then you don't need a machete. I have no uses for a machete. And I don't know what kind of machete I'd want to use around the house because I don't even know what I do with a machete, man.
Can I cut down greenery? Yeah.
Wait, what greenery? Or greenery? Oh, yeah. Not cutting down a greenery.
No,
I thought you were talking about a big machete.
No, you just cutting back branches and stuff that are in your way, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Like with like hedge clippers?
Well, you're not going to hedge clippers take both hands, dude.
Well, what are you using your other hand for?
To hold the branch so you can the branch so you can whack it with the machete.
I can't come unless I've macheted some greenery.
Well, also, you don't have to have a practical reason for it. Sometimes it's just fun to swing the thing around. So,
see, that's the part I can't go with you on.
No?
Yeah, the weapon split.
Yeah, I suppose.
I don't want to, like, I can admire a sword.
Right,
because I think
right.
they're cool, like from books and stuff. But I don't ever want to actually use one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm no interest in swinging a blade.
Like if somebody like just said, "Hey, Gary, I've put a watermelon on this post here, and I have some Hanzo steel." You're telling me you would turn your nose up and not take the slice?
I think I'd have some questions in that scenario.
Somebody says, I have a katana. It is for you. I've got a watermelon that needs to be sliced. I want to give you the opportunity.
God, he will bleed. But instead we'll practice on this melon.
Yeah. No, just like in a backyard. Like I've like here's a fun activity.
I don't think I'm into that kind of like slicing games anymore.
No?
I used to be more into like a knife throwing kind of scenario. Yeah. Or like a hatchet throwing, and now I'm just like, I'll throw a dart.
Okay.
You know? I'll play pool. It's probably about as close as I'll get.
Yeah.
You know? No blades, no blade games. I'm too paranoid about people getting hurt and like freak accidents, and I don't trust my body enough.
If you're drunk enough, that's not too much of a concern.
That's way more of a concern.
Well, not for you.
Like, I don't know. My blade games days are done. Like,
okay, yeah.
I left behind the blade. I picked up the plowshare.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
So,
you know,
I'm a man of peace now.
Yeah.
This, the duck feed depression joke about just like laying in bed and being asleep and reading stuff is now my entire truth.
I suppose. Yeah. Like blade stuff is fun to do when you're outside. Yeah. That's
I don't like being outside that much, too. That's
I suppose. Yeah.
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 Like it's so dark inside my room right now. My office.
See, that's the thing, but also it can be dark outside too, like for ten hours a day. Yeah. Well,
great to do the blade games.
So sometimes your blade thirsts for the moonlight.
There's no way that when you go out after dark in the moonlight and slicing that watermelon, there's not a human corpse under it, like a human head that's just screaming.
Yeah.
Whose mouth is just stuffed with seed after seed of watermelon. So you can't hear.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. This is step one out of like step like 10,000 of you starting a human pinata farm.
I've never done this. I have never taken.
Oh, you've never done a human pinata.
Sure. Okay, so like I've not taken those 10,000 steps. I've never taken a sword to a watermelon, but I was thinking, you know, I was just taking it to like literally the most like, can I tempt you? This like we are hanging out like at a bonfire or whatever. Mm-hmm. I have the sword. I have this watermelon. Wouldn't it be fun? Right.
I see why that might be fun. I think I would just be too nervous about it. I think I'm too. You know, I'm not interested in things that hurt people anymore.
I suppose.
Only in fiction.
Yeah.
Only in fiction. Because it's like, oh, this is the freak accident where I cut off my thumb.
Right, right.
It's going to happen someday.
I suppose. You know,
or I'm going to drop the sword on my foot.
Hmm.
You know?
Maybe get you out of the city, I think. I think so.
I think I got to get you into the city, man.
I did spend this morning shooting clay pigeons with a shotgun. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm gonna gentrify your neighborhood single-handedly.
It's a, we didn't do this in my fucking backyard. I live in a fucking suburb, dude. We drove a half hour to like a designated place to throw the like the clay pigeons and shoot the shotgun. Like,
yeah, no, like, I know. I didn't think you just like went outside your, you know,
yeah,
your front door and there's just immediately like a shooting range.
No, it's not the case.
So. Well, this is the classic spice that keeps Duckfeed going. The city versus country dichotomy.
I guess. I don't know.
Like sometimes you're a little bit country, sometimes you're a little bit rock and roll.
Yeah.
Like, you know, sometimes, you know, it's, we get both kinds here.
Yeah. But
country and western.
I guess what I'm saying is violence adjacent outdoor bonding activities. I'm down with them. And if it leads to a little bit of cannibalism, then so be it.
So be it. Yeah. Once it's already dead, what are you going to do?
Yeah, no.
Like wasting meat would be more disrespectful.
That's the thing.
Than not.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's just kind of like a trajectory because I used to be more into that kind of thing. Like go to a bonfire, be outside, throw some knives, mm-hmm. go outside, piss and see which way the urine goes, like which way your dick leans.
And just what if it goes up this time?
Yeah. Compare it with your buddies, you know, like what if it's a portal situation or something, or like I piss into the animatrix and it floats upwards for some reason, you know, like that was, I definitely had my period about that. And then now I'm much more like, hey, let's sit calmly around a table, have soft drinks and talk about stuff and make jokes. And then I'm going to go home and read comics and go to bed. You know, much more lame now. You're the young, sexy face of this podcast network now.
I suppose. Oh man,
you want Blade Games and Blood Support, go with Cole Ross.
Get over to Cole's house.
Indoor games,
yeah,
and board games.
How's your garage board game setup going?
Good. I haven't done it yet, but I got sent a board game.
A
company sent me and Jeremy X-Men board games.
Oh shit.
And I'm gonna set that up and play it. I'm looking forward to it.
Nice.
I haven't done it yet, so maybe I'll do that this weekend. Emma, my partner, is getting her second shot mm-hmm. currently, so she's probably gonna be like knocked out
okay
this weekend, so it's probably gonna be a weekend of me like, you know, doing housework and taking care of her, but then also not a lot of like going out or anything, so I'll be able mm-hmm. to catch up on some stuff, probably
getting some good garage time.
Yeah gotta do it before it starts getting hot.
That's the thing.
Yep, because then it'll be a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, me.
Yeah, thanks for bringing this to my attention. It's weird.
Last of Ass.
I'm pretty interested in these other ones. I need to make sure that I write these down somewhere.
Someday.
Yeah,
we'll do the entire trilogy.
My House, My Rules, and Damn, What Was Yesterday?
My House, My Rules. This is like the least appropriate title for like, you need to turn on the electricity before your show starts, but something is stalking you. Like, it's obviously not your rules, man.
Yeah.
Like, you've lost control of your house and your rules.
Yeah.
400 episodes. If people like this show and want to listen to, you know, 400 more, what should they do?
115-ish more at this point. They should go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. There they can support us, get two extra episodes per month at $5. At $10, you get the fire hose, you get all of them.
Yeah, all the old ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you can also leave us ratings, reviews, or sponsor episodes and tell us what to play. If you're like, Last of Ass, that doesn't sound good to me.
Yeah.
Well, throw some money and pick something different. And maybe we'll talk about it, and maybe we'll talk about cannibalism and knife sport.
Maybe. Yeah.
So
but you know, ratings, reviews, telling your friends, and most of all, just coming back. Here's to 400 more.
We appreciate you.
Yeah. Cool. I think that's everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, as our friend on Twitter always says, our friend Shadow with a Tie, until next time, keep listening to this blatant ripoff of Everything to Guppy. Have you guys ever done Everything Togepi?
We have not done Everything Togepi. That sounds like a Brayton episode of.
It does.
Yeah. I always get Togepi confused with Topanga, the girlfriend from Boy Meets World.
Yeah. Yeah.
With the unlikely name of Topanga.
Yeah. Named after a canyon.
Yeah.
I don't have anything else to say about that. Okay.
No, and named after a canyon could be the end as far as I'm concerned.